we didn't start hitting our stride until year 11. Well, at year 11, we were at that point of either A, we're going to get a divorce. B, we're going to just stick together until the kids turn 18, then we'll get a divorce. Or third, we're going to do something radical in our marriage. And it was at that year that we did something radical. We decided to take on what is now known as the 60 Days of Sex Challenge. So Lisa 60. And I, 60.
Yeah.
Dude, I read yeah. 7 on your book. 60, man. You're
yeah, that's the book.
Blowing
yeah.
it out of the yeah. water.
Yeah. And sometimes you got to get radical, right? And that's what we had to do because we were at a place where, you know, a lot of people will say to us now, it's like, I'm not in love with my spouse, you know? And for us, we were at that place, but we didn't realize that love's an action. Love is something you do. And it was through the 60 Days of Sex Challenge where we completed 40 out of those 60 days that we learned that it wasn't just about the physical. It was about the emotional. It was about the spiritual. It was about, you know, even the financial and being able to come together. So that's what really launched what we now know as One Extraordinary Marriage. And yet it wasn't right there and then. That was 8 years ago now. So it wasn't right there and then. It was like, oh my gosh, we're going to start something. And it took us another 2 years.
About a year and a half.
Year and a yeah. half. We were asked to speak at a marriage retreat at our church at the time, and we shared our 60 Days of Sex Challenge. People, there's about 80 in attendance, and we shared this, and folks were just floored, flabbergasted. They're going, what are you talking about?
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am super excited and fired up not to have just one, but two guests today at the same time, Tony and Alyssa DeLorenzo. Guys, are you fired up and ready to roar?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so as co-hosts of the number one marriage podcast in iTunes, the One Extraordinary Marriage Show, Tony and Alyssa DeLorenzo speak to a worldwide audience about sex, love and commitment, and a challenge every listener to make the relationship a priority. As a couple whose marriage has dealt with the issues of pornography, financial crisis, and child loss, they speak from the heart to those issues that would impact relationships with a mixture of tough love and candor. They work with couples around the world, equipping them with tools and strategies they need to create one extraordinary marriage. Together, they have co-authored 4 books, including the Amazon bestseller, 7 Days of Sex Challenge. So, guess, I have given our listeners just a little bit about you. Would you share with us some more about your career, your interest, and your passion for Jesus?
Well, thank you, John, for having us. It's been, our story is one that has taken a lot of twists and turns over the years. Tony and I did not fall into the marriage world or working with couples around the world intentionally. It was one of those things where our own marriage was on the brink of divorce at 2 different times. And it was really in that second time where we decided, you know, we've got to do something different. Our kids were young. They were 2 and 5. And we just knew that it was either we were going to stay as roommates, we were going to get divorced, or we were going to get radical. And we chose radical. And, you know, as they say, it's made all the difference, because in the last 6 years, we've had the ability to impact thousands, if not millions, around the globe with One Extraordinary Marriage.
That's so exciting. I love that what you said, radical. When my wife and I, Casey, first got married, we were 20 years old. We had both of our parents were divorced. We really had nothing, no example to go to look at. And at the time, we both got saved. And we literally made this commitment to each other. We said, we're either going to figure this out or we're going to live together in hell, was literally the words we used. And said, so
wow,
this is either way, we're going to have to make this work, because I would much rather enjoy being married than hating each other.
Exactly.
So it took us, even to this day, I still tell people the last 5 years of my marriage have been 100 times better than the first 10, just because it took us that long to figure marriage out, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. And, you know, in today's day and age, everybody wants things to be quick and easy. And so many couples will give up on the marriage after a year or two or three because things aren't going. And like you, it was 11 years for us until we finally started hitting our stride.
That's exciting. I like that. Hitting the stride. That's, yeah, it took a while to hit the stride.
Right.
Yeah.
So share a little bit about just some inspirational, maybe that's been for you, like personal inspiration or a quote or a scripture that's really guided you during this, maybe this season for you guys.
Yeah. One for me that has been around, man, for many, many years is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's something that really came about years ago, in all honesty, when I was training for double centuries. So I'm a huge road cyclist, and a double century is doing 200 miles on a bike in one day, which wow. can last anywhere from the fast ones, I could get them done in about 10 and a half hours, and the longer, tougher ones, I'd be on the bike for 18 and a half hours. So through my training, this verse always came to me, and as the years have passed and I've taken a step away from doing double centuries, I still ride at times. You know, that verse continuously stuck with me, and not just for cycling, but for our marriage, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in those tough times, in those good times, for other fitness endeavors, for our business. You know, when our business has gone through different seasons, I'm reminded with that verse that it's not on my own strength that we're going to get things done or I'm going to get things done. It's in His strength that things will happen. And through prayer, we're able to be strengthened.
Absolutely. How about you, Alyssa?
The verse that I always go back to is Joel 3:10, let the weak say, I am strong. And, you know, I think so often in marriage and in business, there are so many times when we feel weak, when we feel like, what am I doing and how am I doing this and why isn't it working? And just that ability to declare through our identity in Christ that I am strong. You know, those of you that are listening, you have the strength. You know, it's interesting that Tony and I have verses that both go back to strength in Christ. And, you know, in doing so, I think it's just that constant reminder that we don't do anything in marriage or in business solely on our own strength. You know, for those of us that are believers, it really is, you know, it's Christ, it's the Holy Spirit, you know, guiding our thoughts, our decisions, our actions, and just being that nudge to say, hey, you might want to stop and pause, you might want to make this decision. And so just that constant reminder to myself that I am not weak, that I am capable, and that I am strong.
I love that you said that. The first thing that came to my mind is how the Holy Spirit is inside of us. God is in us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just have to remind ourselves of the greatness that's in us, because it's so easy to get beat up with life and marriage and children and work and all the things that happen. And the enemy comes along and just constantly beats down us and says, you're not doing this right, or you're not... Nothing's working. And sometimes we just have to sit back and remind ourselves just how awesome Jesus is inside of us and what we're able to accomplish because He's working through us.
Yeah, that's so, good.
So let's take a little bit of a life journey. Let's do specifically the marriage ministry, since that's your guys' mm-hmm. business, what you guys do. What has been the path? I'm just really curious. Where did your podcast start? Was that the start of your marriage ministry, or did you have one before that that led into podcasting? What does that look like for our listeners, how you get started? Let's say, you know, our listeners might have a ministry or something they want to start with.
Right. And so for us, we mentioned, you know, we didn't start hitting our stride until year 11. Well, at year 11, we were at that point of either A, we're going to get a divorce. B, we're going to just stick together until the kids turn 18, then we'll get a divorce. Or third, we're going to do something radical in our marriage. And it was at that year that we did something radical. We decided to take on what is now known as the 60 Days of Sex Challenge. So Elisa 60. And I, 60.
Yeah. Dude, I read yeah. 7 on your book. 60, man. You're
yeah, that's the book.
Blowing it yeah. out of the yeah. water.
Yeah. And sometimes you got to get radical, right? And that's what we had to do, because we were at a place where, you know, a lot of people will say to us now, it's like, I'm not in love with my spouse, you know? And for us, we were at that place, but we didn't realize that love's an action. Love is something you do. And it was through the 60 days of sex challenge where we completed 40 out of those 60 days that we learned that it wasn't just about the physical. It was about the emotional. It was about the spiritual. It was about, you know, even the financial and being able to come together. So that's what really launched what we now know as One Extraordinary Marriage. And yet it wasn't right there and then. That was 8 years ago now. So it wasn't right there and then. It was like, oh my gosh, we're going to start something. And it took us another 2 years.
About a year and a half.
Year and a half. We were asked to speak at a marriage retreat at our church at the time. And we shared our 60 days of sex challenge. People, there's about 80 in attendance. And we shared this. And folks were just floored, flabbergasted. They're going, what are you talking about?
Well, let's be honest. All the guys were trying to figure out what Tony had probably slipped into my drink to get me
to
say yes.
Yeah, man. That's what every guy is thinking.
And all the wives are like, this just seriously ruined my weekend. I mean, Absolutely. That was really kind of the vibe that we got. And yet the next day when we showed up, because we spoke on a Saturday, on Sunday, we show up and people are like, how do we get more? Like, what's the next step? What do we do? And so it was another probably 6 to 8 months after speaking that we launched the podcast 6 years ago. And to be quite honest with you, John, when we started the podcast, I really, in the back of my mind, was thinking, I'm just going to do this crazy, weird thing with Tony for like 5 or 10 episodes. And then, like, it'll be over, right? We won't be doing this.
Right. Because we started podcasting, you know, podcasting's been around about 10, 11 years. So,
Six years plus,
it was still in its infancy. I mean, we were at the stage where people were like, what is that? How do I even find it? You know, Stitcher wasn't even out back then. You know, there are just these platforms that were able to readily listen to podcasts now that wasn't even available back then. There wasn't a podcast app on your iPhone.
Yeah, there just for wasn't. Serious.
Yeah.
So it was a fun start. And one where, you know, we were doing it because we wanted to be real, honest, transparent, something that we hadn't seen anywhere else in marriage. And especially for the Christian community, especially for Christian couples who were feeling stuck or had plateaued. And so we just started and we just kept on going. And I'll share with you and other possible podcasters out there, we, you know, we didn't even have stats on our show for the first 3.5 years.
That's awesome. Because I read that sometimes. You know, people are so concerned about their first 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, about stats. You didn't even have that.
We didn't even have it for 3.5 years. And our big why for One Extraordinary Marriage is that we impact one marriage. We impact one marriage. So through our show, through our website, through being on an interview with you, our hope is that we will impact one marriage. And so that's what sort of kept us going, even through the low times and the high times. And as we kept going, we kept getting a following. We noticed that people would email us here and there. We'd get a phone message or a voice message. And it was the catalyst that just kept us going to where we are now.
I love that story. So just curious, how long did it take you guys? Is this what you guys do full-time? Is this your business now?
I am full-time. Tony will be full-time by the end of 2016.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very much so. Because we went from, you know, literally just podcasting in our garage to creating programs, writing the books. I coach clients internationally. So what started as this, like, okay, well, let's just sit in our garage for, you know, 45 minutes once a week and just have a conversation has literally, through God's hand, just developed into this amazing global reach. You know, where our personal mission, you know, it's always one marriage, but our personal mission is to impact 1 million marriages around the world.
So I want to tell our listeners, I'm just thinking out loud, that when you get radical about something, when God really places something on your heart and you choose to take serious, massive action, just how the Lord is able to transfer that into a passion and then you're able to do it all the time. That's just exciting. What would you guys say is the best thing about what you get to do on a daily basis?
I would say the best thing for me is we daily receive emails where a couple says, we found you, we picked up your resource, we tuned into the podcast, here's where our marriage was, and now we are reconciled, we are restored, we are believing in our marriage, we are seeing transformation. And, you know, that's not us. You know, we're just both strongly believe that we're just a catalyst, a tool that God uses to bring about restoration in marriage. But getting those emails, being for me, since I do all the coaching here at One Extraordinary Marriage, being able to coach couples to that point where they're having those aha moments and they can, you know, look at each other with love instead of with frustration or anger. And just transformation is our biggest success story here at One Extraordinary Marriage.
Absolutely. I love that. So I want to dig a little deeper with you guys. What has been, and really, obviously, because of your podcast, you guys are very real and authentic, but what has been a huge challenge or a great failure that you're willing to share with us that you guys have either have to personally faced or in your career, or even your marriage? What has been just a great challenge for you guys?
Wow.
That's a loaded question. Yeah. We have almost 20 years married and 6 years in business together. So there's been a lot.
Yeah, I think on the business side, one of the challenges that I faced early on and have come to understand more so is that you can't please everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it took some time to really understand that, because our message will resonate with many, and it does. And then there are going to be those that just don't like us. And it's interesting how our minds will focus on that one negative, even if you've had 10 positive reviews.
Yes.
And so I've had to learn to just go, you know what? I can't please everybody. And I am touching the ones that I am impacting. Those are the ones that I need to focus on. So that, for a business one for me, and I've worked with a lot of other business owners over the years and talked to them, it's something that they struggle with too. You know, and we have to be willing to just go, hey, it doesn't resonate with them. Delete them off your email list. Delete the message. Don't read it. Move on. It's tough, believe me. And yet when you are able to do that and you have that big why, you have your big mission, then you realize that that one person, even though they don't like what you're saying or what you're doing, that's okay, because you got a million more people that you need to touch.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Owen. That really is hard, because even in my industry line of work, there's just times where, like you said, I can do 10 different jobs and I get one person that's critical or says something about me, and it just frustrates me or just breaks my heart, because I aim so high to please. And then you get that one and I focus on that. And sometimes you do just, my wife has to remind me, man, you just need to let that roll off your back and just keep going, because it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yep.
Alyssa, how about you?
Well, I'm going to jump into the personal side, because there are a lot of things that we've shared with our audience that our marriage has walked through. And, you know, I think it's important for any of your listeners to know that we don't come to this marriage thing having always had the perfect marriage. Tony and I have faced a lot of challenges in terms of, he brought a pornography addiction into our marriage that lasted up until about, we'd been married about 8 years, so almost 11 years ago. And it's one of those things where that impacts so immensely how a husband and wife relate to one another and how they build intimacy. And that's really where, you know, when you look at that pivot point in our marriage at year 11, that was Tony being clean off of pornography. That was us also having, in the intervening 3 years between years 8 and 11, having gone through the loss of a child. You know, so we have faced some really huge challenges that we know actually destroy a lot of marriages. And that's why we constantly go back to this message of hope, saying, you know what, you can walk through this season and come out on the other end, one, still married, but more importantly, having an even stronger foundation than you did prior to these challenges being a factor in your relationship.
I love that you brought that up. That's actually answered the question in my head, but did you come out this stronger in the end? Because I actually come from a broken family. When I was 9, my brother, when he was 3, he died. And I was saw the process of my parents turning to drugs and alcohol that literally just spiraled, which you, I'm sure you guys see all the time. Mm-hmm. So I love that you said there is hope, and not just hope, but in the end, if you persevere and you, like the scripture you talked about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you push through to the end, there really is light at the tunnel. It might not seem like there is, but when you get there, there is just such a more solid foundation than you had before. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. You know, when I look at our marriage, the first 11 years versus the last 8, it's like two separate marriages. because having walked through all of those challenges and then making that radical decision at year 11 that we were going to do this thing called marriage differently. And you know what Tony didn't share is when he proposed that 60 days of sex challenge, my immediate reaction was, well, heck no. You know, like I'm jumping out of bed, I'm putting on a facial mask. And then the next day I had my God moment with a basket full of laundry where, you know, audibly God said to me, look, if you're not willing to try, then it's over, right? You've already given up. Walk through this door, go this way. And, you know, I think back, I'm like, if I hadn't said yes 8 years ago, not only would we probably not be here, but there are, like I said, thousands, millions of people who listen to the show and interact with us whose lives also wouldn't be impacted.
Right. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing for us. It really has, our lives have radically been changing. Our marriage has been changing. A quick story yesterday, and Elise and I had some issues early on in our marriage with emotional intimacy, connecting emotionally. Elisa shuts down. I tend to be more the bulldog, like, give me the information, give me the information. She's shutting down like a big old power outage. Yesterday, I had a call with a business friend of mine, and we were talking about an event that we attend called Pathfinders here in San Diego. Elisa and I are table sponsors, and he mentioned that, hey, you know what? I want to have you guys on a video for the next Pathfinders, and I want to just showcase you guys. I want to showcase who you are, One Extraordinary Marriage, to the entire event. And I was excited because this event draws 400-500 folks. And I'm like, sweet, thanks a lot. This is awesome. I call Elisa and I'm like, Elisa, guess what's going to be going down on the next one? And her first immediate comment is, well, you know, we both can't be there because of the kids and this, and I can't do this and we can't do that. And it was really defeating. And I could feel myself starting to go, I'm not really digging this conversation. Like, I want her to acknowledge that this is a big deal. Like, it costs money to get these types of opportunity, and sometimes big money when you're in front of some top people in our area. And so through the conversation, you know, she didn't shut down. I didn't become a bulldog, but that's because we've worked at it over 8 years. And I was able to just, you know, turn that conversation around, not about her, but about me. I feel like you're not listening or you're not hearing the importance of this. You know, I feel like you're just downplaying what I just was able to do. You know, what I'd like for you to be able to see and do in that moment is just give me a little accolade. Give me a little, hey, right on, Tony. That is so sweet we were able to get this. Boom. Now we can transition to the, yes, we got kids. We got to figure out how to do all that. So again, 8 years, it's a journey of doing that to be able to go, all right, cool. And this was over the phone, mind you. This wasn't face-to-face, which, you know, over the phone you can get, people can really blow up and just hang up on each other and not talk.
I don't want to get too sidetracked, so we got some more questions for you guys. But
yeah,
obviously what I'm hearing is you've come to a place where you're able to be honest with each other, but at the same time not take offense and still work through the questions and understand each other's strengths and weaknesses.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, I mean, every marriage has its ups and downs. I think what we've been able to do by being so intentional about our marriage is minimizing those down cycles so that they just don't last nearly as long or are as intense.
Absolutely. So what would you say, both for, this is for both of you, what is your biggest strength or your gift in the area of ministry, or let's say that your marriage ministry / business, what's your biggest strength?
For me, it's relationship building.
Love it.
Yeah.
And for me, I think it's the ability to see the 30,000 foot view when I'm working with clients, when I'm answering emails. It's like, what does this look like in the scope of marriage and future and that type of thing?
That's good. So you guys work really good together as far as building. You're able to see the big picture, and then Tony's able to really work on the relationships and build those with people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In that, what I have found is even when you're operating in your strengths, Tony, I'm a big relationship builder. I know my weaknesses. What would you say is your biggest weakness when you're operating in your strength, or can be a weakness?
Sometimes it's the over-talking. You know, I will want to take control of that conversation I'll want to share everything on my side and I won't be listening. Like, it's like, hey, I'm relationship building, but it's relationship building of, hey, you need to hear about me and what I'm doing. And I have to catch myself and just, as you can tell, I love telling stories and stuff. So I'll just share. As Elisa like goes, hey, you're
like,
doing
you're
it
oversharing.
Right now.
I love that you said that, because even podcasting has been hard for me in learning to talk to my listeners, because you start to realize weaknesses that you have. So even when people talk, not talking over them or cutting them off and finishing what they're about to say. I don't know if you have that, but I've definitely had to learn that and just shut up.
Well, we have the added dynamic that we do the podcast together. So our conversations, our entire show is us relating to one another. And so you have co-host, you have married 20 years together, almost 22. So there are times we definitely speak over each other, but it's part of the dynamic of our show.
Mm-hmm. That makes it fun. So Liz, what is your biggest weakness within your strength, you feel?
Within the weakness within the strength is that as I'm looking at that 30,000 viewpoint for my clients, sometimes, you know, I even still get caught up in the details. And it's remembering always that it is their journey, that them finding their path through the guidance of a coach is the most valuable tool that I can bring to them, and just, you know, keeping myself in check.
Okay. I like that. So let's jump into, instead of just individually, as a couple for you guys right now, what is the biggest thing that God is stirring inside of you right now?
Ooh, bigger, more territory takers, kingdom builders.
Oh, I love it. You're talking about that. I don't get to hear that language very often, man. We're spitting the same language.
Yeah, it's big. It's big. It's, you know, setting aside that scarcity mindset, living in abundance and prosperity. You know, that's the sort of stuff that I just feel like God is just stirring. It's like, no. There are so many people that need to hear the message. Go, do, don't sit around and wait. Go, keep walking. You know, every place your foot falls, I am there with you. And just go after it, because we have lives to change. We have people to change. We have marriages that need to be impacted. So that's what I would say we have been really looking at over the last 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm. So listeners, I wanted to share this with you right now. We've never shared this before, and I love that Tony just said this, because he talked about territory, and I want to go back to just Genesis, and we are called to that relationship with God, and within that territory, God has given every single one of us dominion and territory for us to claim, and a lot of times, we just have to take massive action in big steps and go out and declare what God has for us. And just go for it. And I think sometimes that's hard for us, but it's there. And obviously, I love that you guys are doing that. You're speaking my language. And sometimes I don't even know what that looks like, but I know it's there and I want to know what it is and I'm going to go get it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then no matter where you're at, I don't care if you're in the marketplace and you have a job, you can take territory.
Yes.
You're a marketplace minister. Go after it. Talk to people, share people. I mean, yesterday I was working with a guy and just happened to start talking, and all of a sudden he's like, hey man, are you Christian? I'm like, yeah. He's like, so am I. And it just, you know, we were able to just talk, you know, he was able to pour into me a little bit there and I was able to pour into him. And it was just a really cool experience. And other times I'm speaking to people who are not, and I'm still going to share Jesus's love. I mean, I'm in the marketplace. That's what we do.
It's in you and it comes out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
So my next question was, is, you know, we're all called to share the gospel, and that looks differently for every one of us as far as within our gifts, talents, abilities, what we do. Tony, you just shared a quick story and example with yesterday, how that related to a guy. Alyssa, how does that look like for you as far as sharing the gospel in your everyday life?
It's been really interesting over the last, I would say, 6 to 8 months. Like I mentioned earlier, we get hundreds of emails on a regular basis with people who are in crisis. And there's not always, you know, a quick one-liner like, you know, no prescription that I can write out, like take two of these and, you know, call me in the morning, you'll be great. Instead, what we have started doing is often responding with prayer, just covering, you know, emails. Not only are we praying for these folks, like, you know, offline, but literally I just close my eyes and I just type out whatever God is downloading into me. And then I, you know, open my eyes, double check it for spelling errors, and just hit send. because right. God's given me a word for somebody, and I'm just going to go say, this is where you're at. And this is what God wants you to know. And, you know, I have no idea if the person on the receiving end is a Christian or non-Christian. I'm just like, well, I'm just, you know, here's my prayer for you today. And we just release that and let God's word do what it needs to do.
Woo! I love that you said that, because what you're telling me is you're taking the thought process out of you and allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you to minister and speak life into that person or that couple without you even thinking about it.
Right.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
And we have listeners of all faiths, all denominations, some who are atheists, agnostic, they let us know. And yet, we are still going to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never had somebody say, hey, can I pray for you? Say no. And so we just believe it, and we're going to just drop that into them, because we want them to know that they can walk in strength as well.
It's funny you said that. In 17 years, so in my line of business, the last 17 years, I've prayed for people at work for years. And in one time in 17 years, I actually had a woman tell me I could not pray for her. She had cancer, and I wanted to pray over her. She told me no, and she asked me to leave. And then turned around, I was actually subcontracting for another company. And she actually called the company up and complained that I would even offer that. And I thought it was hilarious, because in all the years in marketplace and grocery stores and all the places I've ever been, even whether they're atheist or, like you said, agnostic or different denomination, they're like, yeah, please pray for me. And that was the first time ever that somebody had said that. So it was pretty wild.
Yeah, a lot of pain there.
Yes, but I prayed for her anyway, just not with her, but we just prayed over her anyway. Either way, she was getting it. So what is a personal daily habit that you guys feel like contributes? Typically, I ask with your walk with Jesus, but I want to say for your marriage, for our listeners, since that's what we're talking about, what is a daily habit that contributes to that?
We make communication a priority in our marriage. So we are fortunate enough to have the flexibility to communicate many times during the day, be it by phone, by text, even when we're, you know, both in the office together, just bouncing ideas off each other. And what we found, and it started when we started the podcast, was that intentionality of communication fosters the intimacy in the marriage. So for those of you that are listening, whether you're, you know, married or, you know, just in a relationship, making time every day to have a conversation and to go deeper than, you know, who's picking up the groceries or who's got to take the kid to practice or did you pay the bill?
Absolutely. What is a resource that you feel like that you could share with our listeners that's really helpful?
You know, off of that, we have this great free resource called Our Six Questions, and it helps folks to ask and answer questions of each other. So if anybody would like to jump and get that, go to oursixquestions.com and, you know, just put in your email address, you'll get that. And that's sort of like the launching point to get you started.
Okay. Yeah. And listeners, just so you know, we'll have all the show notes. I'll have links to their website and to everything they're talking about. What's a book that you guys would recommend that you would share with our listeners as well that you feel like's impacted you?
You know, interestingly enough, the book that launched everything for us is called Intimacy Ignited. The co-authors, their last names are Dillo and Pintus, P-I-N-T-U-S. And this was the book that got us really thinking about what does sexual intimacy look like in marriage? And more importantly, what does the Bible say about sexual intimacy? This book really digs deep into the Song of Solomon. And it was the catalyst for everything that has come over the last 7 years, and just a fabulous resource for couples.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that with us. Okay, so here's a question. I hope you prepped for this. This is where I ask. If you get a chance to go back to see the younger you, what age would you pick, and what advice would you tell yourself to propel you further into your destiny, what God's calling you to now?
For me, I would go back to that early 20-something. Tony and I got married when I was 22 and he was 23. And I would tell that, you know, 21, 22-year-old self that marriage isn't all what Hollywood portrays it to be, that I was going to need to get involved in the process of actually being married to Tony a lot sooner than 11 years into it. And I would also tell myself that, you know what, there are going to be challenges. Right? I mean, you don't go through pornography addiction. You don't go through the loss of a child. You don't go through crazy amounts of debt and all of the other storms that we've weathered like every couple listening, every individual listening has been through storms. And just the reminder that one, God is going to be my rock through that. And that the sooner I get involved in the process, the smoother things go.
Absolutely. How about you, Tony?
I think for me, it'd be an 18, 19 year old Tony. I think for myself, when I went to college, I just went off the rails. And I think that really has, not where I am now, but hampered me to realize what could have been much sooner in my life. And I had an opportunity to accept Christ back then. And from the guy who's like second in command at Promise Keepers, his name was Dave Wardell. And I just laughed and turned away and, you know, led a life of drugs and alcohol for many, many years after that. And so I look at myself back then and go, wow, what a difference. Where would I be? What would have happened? Who could have I touched so much sooner and changed lives? Hey, we all have our story, but that's where I would go and just go, man, what would have been?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I would have picked probably the same had I answered that. So Tony, Alyssa, just thank you so much for taking us on a great journey and giving us some insight into marriage, your guys' life, what Jesus is doing in your life right now. Love the stories. Tony, you do a great job with your stories. I love that for our listeners. What is one piece of parting advice that you would like to leave us with before we take off?
I would say to everyone listening, especially those of you that are married or in relationships, the number one thing that you can do for your relationship is to get intentional. Mm-hmm. We plan out so many other aspects of our lives. We plan out our financial futures. We plan out our careers. We do all this other kind of stuff. And yet with our marriage, we just expect it to, you know, like happen miraculously. And it doesn't. It needs that same level of intentionality that you would take to any other area of your life.
Thank you for sharing that. Tony, what is a great way for us to get a hold of, for my listeners, if they got questions about pornography, sex, a great marriage, any of those ways, how do we find you guys and where can we find information about you?
Go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com. There's a podcast tab up there. There's a blog tab up there. You can subscribe in iTunes. We have 300 plus shows now. So do a search, look through iTunes, find the ones that pop out to you right now. That's what I would say. Look at those titles, grab the 5, 6, 7 shows that just pop right now, and then you can always go back and start coming through. We have tons of free resources on the site, and we also have our books and programs as well if you need to dig deeper for your life and your marriage.
Absolutely. Listeners, I will be posting everything on a resource page. I'll have links for you as well. If you forgot anything that Tony just said or can't remember it, areyoureal.org. I will have guest names, resources, all that. And Tony, Alyssa, before we take off, I want to pray with you guys afterwards. I just love your guys' heart. But listeners, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. Please go rate and review us. Check out what else we have on our Are You Real page and have a blessed day. Thank you.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.